The room around Robert started to swim and blur, as if someone was taking the slick nightclub around him and dipping it in a bucket of sick. The walls were no longer shiny black and metal, but stripping back to reveal aging, cigarette-stained flock wallpaper. The dark wood flooring peeled away to expose an ancient carpet which practically squelched underfoot. The linen on the tables slid away to display mismatched plywood and chairs, a mix-mash of the second hand. The fully stocked bar dispensed with modesty and presented one lone, lime-scaled, rust-delicious mains tap. The drink in his hand, the colour of whiskey, but clearly unclear as the murkiest of dirty tap water in a paper cup. But the worst reveal of all, the most unnerving retreat of the fantasy world to reality, was the entertainment. The lithe pole dancer, the foxy mistress of a thousand hard-ons, the queen of every impossible wet dream, wasn't a slim, supple mistress of erotic possibilities. She was 87 if she were a day, and none too light. Made worse was the fact that, though her body had returned to its presumably natural state, her clothing, or lack of it, remained exactly the same. And, to add insult to psychotherapy, she writhed as best her arthritis allowed, accompanied by the sexual healing tones of Agadoo. Looped. Robert jumped back against the tacked-together wooden bar and gave a little scream. The crumpled man and other customers didn't move their eyes from the dancer. "It's our little joke," said Gentleman Jim beside him. "That's Elsie. Elsie, stop that a moment and say hello." The dancer climbed awkwardly down from the stage, though the male gaze continued to watch the void she had vacated.
"Hello, dearie," she said.
"Lovely to meet you," said Robert, endeavouring to be polite. "He can see me normally, can't he?"
"Yes, ducks," said Jim.
"Do us a favour, put a cardigan on and get us a decent cup of tea." She shuffled off, and Robert not unreasonably asked,
"What the fuck?"